members have not submitted their names. Nathan, please, members, they were supposed to be submitted last week already because our budget vote is on the 16th. Can you please, if you're not coming with someone, you don't have someone, it's not a shame. Just make them away. Next May 16th, if I vote. Uba wena, usajiko. Kwa ufunu za lomtu wako, ubu na ye. So uza na ye. Ubu ufunu za mama ako, iza na ye. So bese ngenze lukuti nje. Use mkuti gale wali nilela makati. Then iza ukavana ni department ita hina ye endi. Sile nose musumele netala. Aye, umini sauza ipendi ya leonga. Lewa asasa inya. So nyakael, members, please. Uze nomtu uyu wani. Onge ni family yako. Uwa unabatwana wako waza wachala papansi. Ya vakala, members. Am I clear, members of Salo? Unvilea. So Usem is waiting. I think the deadline now is today after the meeting. Okay. Members, thank you. Now the APP has been presented and the strategic plan has been presented. At some stage I am going to leave you because I have to go and meet the house chairperson. Honorable Florence, you remember, Minister, I think even at national level, the committee is sitting with the Rural and Land Affairs Committee because of the 100 years of the, say, I don't want to call it the centenary, I don't know what the name, to me it's not the commemoration of the Native Land Act. So we are sitting part of that committee. So the chair has been requested to meet the House Chair. I think Public Works is one of those. And agriculture or part of those. So I'm not sure at your ministerial level or in Jalona Con, but I'll be leaving soon because we need to sort out those issues. But I must be clear here, Minister, that maybe you've received the committee. Mm-hmm. We have shortlisted council candidates, and we were supposed to interview next week, but because of this public hearings of the Rural Day, we have shifted them to. Okay, 23, 24, and 25 of May, and my personal, I'm not saying I'm influencing any decision, my personal a view is that we can have a woman as a chair. We've got so many men in those entities in Amatoka. Order, we are tired to see those ugly voices. Let there be flowers now in those entities. You know? So it's my personal view. I'm not saying I'm influencing, but even because it's just a lot of men, we're looking at them. So let's not pretend or behave as if there are no women in the urban culture section. Even if the board can be women, only fine. There's no problem. You know, where there are women, there's peace anyway. No, I said it's my personal view.
Yes, I know that, but can I address you on a point of order?
Okay, Honourable Senator.
Chairperson, I wish that we can have a very able person to be the chairperson of FAMSA. That's all. Thank you.
That's why it will be a woman who is going to be with me. So, remember, the strategic plan has been presented. So members of the PC, was they every figure on their budget? You So I don't know about fiscal dumping, fiscal dumping in South Africa. I thought I should raise that as well. And you spoke about flagship cities, which we are aware about some of them, but my question would be, are you planning or are you preparing for any flagships in the Eastern Cape and in the Free State and KwaZulu-Natal provinces? And I've asked Robin Allen question. I had one question that I need to raise. Or did you just, I will raise it to the minister just out of concern. It's not a part of what you're presenting. The then minister, there's a concern that has been raised by a museum that is not part of the urban culture, but I'm just raising it here. I'm not saying it's part of this, but just for consideration. The District 6 Museum, in which is here, it says it receives no funding, even from the government, although I don't know its status. That's why I was checking its status. I thought I should raise it just for consideration. I'm saying, that's why I said it's not part of it. So can you look into that matter? We'll speak about the history of the Khoi, about the slavery, about... there's a lot that is raised in this country. But on my personal assessment, Director General, so sorry, on your iPhone, you spoke about museums. Yeah, I definitely I did. In my assessment, in all the museums that you've been raising, I'm not happy with the allocation. The museums that are not good, doing well, you give them more money. But the little ones, that was, they are small, and they are doing exceptionally well. You don't give them money. I mean, how do you expect a museum? See the slide. Allocation. Who are doing exceptionally well? Really, how do you expect? Minister was speaking about job creation. There's a small town in Kimberley. Yeah, we were happy with that in Lowland with the museum. But how do you expect them to survive on 5 million only pages? You know, you have the Library of the Blind. I mean, that's a priority, not because so far. But this, in our assessment as a committee, we've said that those who are doing very well, they get so little money. This one, I'm not sure whether it's the money that makes them crazy. So that's why they but the liver doesn't understand that. Well, we are not happy with Sarah currently. We are not happy with the many who came that year that we are not happy about. I thought those are the assessments that we would like to. I know Dr. Kisa always try to think we need the monitoring part also of this institution. As well. I thought it's one of the issues that I should raise. I'm going to leave off my last question. Dabayema consultant. You know, DJ, I hate consultants. Not because I'm not saying that our people must not be empowered, but I feel that sometimes the consultants do work that we can do, you know, and you really don't see what work do they do. Minister has declared that this year is a year of the Mzansi Golden Economy, and we have supported that. But now we are waiting to see the implementation of the strategy. Everyone is waiting towards that. But now, what is the role of consultants, this MME strategy? And is the department sufficiently capacitated to reduce the dependence on consultants? Because everything is a consultant company. I'm not saying people must not be empowered, but I'm just saying let the logic apply now. Thank you, Nyabulela. Members, questions? Yeah. I'm telling you, the land is bold. Honorable, Tapani, Honorable, I'll tell you why I can't go to the Parliament, telling you. Honorable, Honorable Tapani, Honorable, Parai, Honorable, Namita Sulvana, is your hand? Honorable Mshwana, Honorable Thunder Bear, Honorable Santalvey, then Honorable Jeff Palau will be the second last, and the Honorable Moss.
Thank you, Honorable Sir. Let me just thank you, the DJ, for a detailed presentation. And my first take is a comment. I'm really pleased to see that you will be intensifying oversight and monitoring over the entities. Some have performed very badly, Central is the West. And another thing I'm impressed about is the improvement in the development of the life cycle of our artists. You know, it is so painful to see these people doing very well, and then we presume that they are in a very good standing, only to find out they are. Some of them are being given proper careers. But my question now is, how are you going to do that? Unfortunately, there are no pages now, you know, in this document, but unacknowledged goals, the job creation. You are going to create 100,000 decent jobs. My question, actually your target is 2016. Don't you have annual targets? Because we have to do a monitoring, an oversight monitoring. In other strategic objectives, you have to develop and implement a dedicated academy to support skills and critical skills. Have you studied about this thing? And if you have already started, how far is this development of this academy? Under linking goals, objectives, and budget programs, program number 3, you are going to provide specialized terminologies for all of your languages. What about sign language? And what are you doing about the Hoi and Fan language? All right. In select indicators, number of practitioners placed in schools is 150. My question is, what criteria have you used to select the practitioners and the schools as well? And then in your key indicators, you have said that you are going to participate. That's what I want to know. Have you already participated in these 4 continental events, or are you intending to participate in this? If you are intending, how are you going to choose the participants in those 4 continental events? You know, I just want to echo what the said person has said about William Humphrey, the museum. You know, we have created oversight. That is one of usually who have visited. They are doing a fantastic job. And secondly, Northern Cape is the biggest province in terms of jurisdiction in South Africa. So these people have to travel, you know, far, wide apart places. I don't think really this budget given them, they can do much. And they are doing a fantastic job, those people. Have you considered that when you're allocating this budget? My last comment now, hope you are going to be given another another round. Let me stop here now.
I actually want to give you more 1 minute because of the response of the department of response. There's a lot of members who will raise their questions and comments. But I'm going to... Honorable Kurai, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the presentation. I'm just going to ask a question that I've asked in the past meetings in terms of vacancies and the flex. But if I'm going to get the same answer like the last time, I'm sure it's not going to be necessary to get that. But the issue of vacancies, I'm aware that the department still has 10% of vacant posts, and I think in one of the phone at the present, we were clarifying the issue of the vacancies. I think, from my own opinion, I believe this is some sort of a I don't know how can I call it, but political used to call it the. If you don't take the instruction from the above, it's like, I don't know,
is what?
I forget the term. But if the president has just tell all the people of South Africa that he has a concern about the vacancies in South Africa, in the department, and the department has made sure that they close all the vacancies, but until they still have 10% of vacancies in the other country department. I'm not sure he represents what the president has just told the people of South Africa. And that's the explanation why. To the issue of the flex, in the last meeting, the DG explained we have some number of flex for few schools in South Africa. I recommended that if this can also go to the schools, all schools in South Africa, especially in the rural areas like ours, also in libraries. And I'm not sure whether that has been implemented. That's one thing. I'm asking the same question that I've asked last time. If that has been implemented, there's no need to answer that question. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Kurai. Another long story. Who's next? Honorable Buswana. And then Namalumita.
Thank you, sir. My next question is on the national symbols. It's on there is no page number, but it's written on this particular one. The annual I know and I believe you have noted that a lot has been done to make people aware of the national symbol. But I don't see how we are influencing this country to look alike thing. One can give an example that we do have the Springbok. And we also have the protein, the food tech team is the protein, the spring bomb, the spring bomb will be there is soccer, there is the rugby one. But we don't see any move towards making sure that maybe soccer becomes the galoon of so that we distribute them all. And I think we're seated in a position where we can influence the country to be proud of our national that was the first one. And the other one is the one that is asked already, but I'm checking if it's a missing on job creation. It's I've numbered it slide 10 because there are no numbers on the first one that we got, and I was using the first one. it's written 150,000 different jobs, but I think I had 105 coming from you verbally, unless if I misunderstood. So I'm checking which one is correct, the printed one or the one which you said. And the last one is on slide 12, the on strategic objectives. We are talking of scarce and critical skills, but they are not many, I think. So that if we leave it to provinces or to whoever to decide which one is scarce, which one is critical, we may not be doing a good job. Can we unpack things? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I would like to thank the DG for this presentation. Following what Honorable Mishwana has just said about the, what is it, 150,000 jobs created, in the presentation, I haven't heard where the department involves the EPWP, which I think is the government's strategy to create jobs. I just want to know where the EPWP comes in all this job creation. Number two, with regards to community library grants, you know, there are some companies which have a track record of not being able to spend their transfers. I just want to know what measures has the department taken or put in place to end this trend, because you find some provinces, as we have been briefed in the past, have not spent the allocated funds for the libraries. And then one other thing, you know, based on the past progress report, one of the recurring problems in the implementation of CLSG appears to be around infrastructure implementation. Most provinces employ Department of Public Works as the implementing agent, while the Department of Public Works does not necessarily prioritize the building of libraries, with the added responsibility fund prioritized for the DBE. What measures have department put in place to ensure that efficient service delivery is realized? Because we have had, for instance, when the Robben Island came to brief us, that they were complaining about the Department of Public Works, that renovations, whatever, they drag their feet. And the same thing may happen with our libraries, that we give them money as an implementing agent and they don't do anything that satisfies us. Thank you for now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mamita. That's the thing that you are putting up your hand. I will give for the members in the back. Honorable Van der Berg, Honorable Van Skalvik, and then Honorable Hunker. I will see if there is still some time for you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the presentation of the DG was so-so, but the content of the presentation was good, and therefore, thank you to the department. Only joke, DG. Minister, a couple of weeks ago, I raised in the portfolio committee, but you were not present. And I think today, it's good to talk about it. And also in this presentation, the DG mentioned, you know, things the partner has to do is to look for social cohesion, nation building, etc., etc. And the Department of Arts and Culture, and I think you, Minister, has got a very important role to play, and all of us in this portfolio committee and every member of the government and every member of parliament and everyone has got a very important role to build social cohesion. I just want to ask you, Minister, that in the past couple of weeks,
even some of your colleagues raised issues that made people very cross. And I'm not going to mention any examples. I think you know what I'm talking about. When one of the ministers are shooting out of the hip and say something that hurts other people in the community, I just want to know, are there sort of a mechanism inside to talk about it and to calm people and to make them remember of this very important thing? Be cautious when you open your mouth, otherwise it will hurt people. That's to you. Yes, it's a very good presentation. I want to ask the DG, just for better understanding, because there's a lot of abbreviations in this presentation. DG, is it possible? I'm not going to make any examples, but there are a lot of abbreviations that state certain things, and I think just for the understanding of this presentation, it will be very easy. For instance, art institutions, they might say NFVF subsidy. You know, when you're working with this budget every day of your life, you know, it's natural, but I'm not working with budget every day. NFF, development of local film industry. So there are a lot of these examples to talk about, and that will be very, very helpful to understand it better. I also asked a couple of months ago, I think it was about last year, about the MOUs, the Memorandum of Understanding. You know, I remember there's one between South Africa and the Netherlands. It was language-based, and up to today, we haven't received anything according to that MOU. And even the DJ mentioned about MOUs that are going to be signed on cultural level, China was mentioned, etc. I think it's very important for our committee to be, to know about what's going on. So I will be glad if we can be informed. Yes, you are mentioning the bills. You know, you were speaking about the White House paper on arts and culture, cultural law, amendment bill, community library information law. Any time frames? What are we looking at? Is it to be done in the fourth parliament, or is it going to run over to the fifth parliament of the republic? And then, just the idea, one of the bills is saying something about the community library and information bill. Now, this afternoon in Parliament, we have to decide about the information bill. Just a question, Minister, this new information bill that's been in headline news for a long time, how will this influence? For instance, I'm just making an example, this community library and information bill and the free flowing of information in the Department of Arts and Culture. Will there be any effect? I hope not so. And then this whole language bill, my colleague, Dr. van Schalkwyk, the minister, she asked a question about the language bill, and you said the minister, after the state president, must also sign, and then you can make decision after there was a public comments. And at this stage, there's nothing about the public comments or public hearings, or what do you call it. When will that be done? Because I think the time is ticking, and if I remember correctly, there's also a court judgment on the president that he must react before on the 7th of May to set this language thing in motion. So that is, yes, there's another one I just want to ask the DG. I've received some information about the state of the Paul Kruger House in Pretoria and the Willem Prince. I just want to hear, where is that fitting in? Is that under the Ditsong Museums? Because I believe that the state is of affairs
Chair, does it work?
Yeah.
Yeah, it works. Most of my questions have been covered. I want to join people in thanking the DG for the, as far as I'm concerned, a very informative presentation he made. I want to congratulate him on that. And then I just want to link on to the smaller museums. And when I introduced myself, I said that I was from the Northern Cape. And the William Humphreys Museum was mentioned here. It is really an exceptional museum. Those people take their social responsibilities very serious as well. Now, I don't want to say anything more about the William Humphreys, except that I think they should get more, a bigger budget. But my question is, must the budget of entities, should they not be directly linked to their performance? Because you get museums where the budget is very big, but they don't perform in any way. It's like a performance agreement with the museum, and then give their money according to that. And then another question as far as museums are concerned. Capital Works, please help me to understand that. Capital Works, does that include the maintenance of the museums, or is the maintenance part of Public Works? I don't understand that, so please help me as far in that connection. Chairperson, as I said, most of my questions have been covered, so I think I'll stick to this. Thank you.
Honourable, thank you very much, Mr. Sanskrit.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
My concern on the question of not numbering the pages is increasing now. And my colleague has actually asked that question now, tried to answer that why. Made it very difficult for us to really set different pages. I wanted to check on some of the national events that you actually mentioned, especially Human Rights Day. And you said it was successful, yes. I remember that we were somewhere in Cape Town, also invited as some of the popular political members. And I don't think it was really successful. In a sense, because even, you know, remember the department limited that day to those who had their loved ones, you know, who lost their loved ones in the Robben Island. And most of the, if not all, most of the relatives that were, they were complaining very much in such a manner that it indicated that there was little consultation on in convincing them why the loved ones were buried not in the Robben Island, because they last, you know, heard that they were there. And number two, they were not really fully informed of most processes. Really, they were so worried, but they had to come to where we were going to, outside Robben Island anyway. So I have a concern with it. And again, on the same day, I don't don't think it, you know, the get together was well organized in many ways there. I think it was a good thing to have. But remember, there was another big event addressed by the president somewhere. You know, I'm not saying that it wasn't supposed to take place, but I think it was supposed to be coordinated in a manner that satisfies, you know, the people. And of course, the relatives were crying so much that they thought the president would be there, and that was letting them to give, you know, very negative statements completely about the department and the government, because there was not even a word why the president was not there, and that kind of thing. And, you know, I just wanted to reflect on this. And the next one is that I didn't hear much on the issue of the national anthem. Remember, we have been always talking to the educational part, if possible. You know, South Africans are unable to sing this song. And it's difficult, and people do not know how to sing. And, if they do, they sing it halfway, and it's problematic. So I wanted to know where do you incorporate that part onto your program as to ensure that at least there is some kind of a process in educating South Africans to make sure that they can. I also noticed that you know, within the programs that you have, right, something that talks to empowerment, capacity building, you know, for the artists, which is okay, but I'm worried that there's nothing really that helps, you know, the emerging ones. Because I'm not saying that the others will die, and, but I'm just saying that, you know, there should be a system. Maybe it is there, but I don't see it, and we will really need to see that kind of thing. I'm not going to talk to language here, but then something that is linked to it with somewhere you made a mention of a build capacity in language practice, which is clear in a sense, but is that talking to the implementation of the language bill that was actually passed? What is it about? You also talk of the non-profit institutions, and which are actually part of the government, and I think you wouldn't have them as they are being defined as non-profit organizations, but because non-profit is always referred commonly to the non-governmental organizations, and these are not NGOs, but they are not very much of being NGOs, but they are more of like PGOs. And yeah, we have a problem with that, and I think we need some clarity. The last one would be the encouraging number, which is my colleagues have actually talked to, you know, 150. I don't know. I don't see a how part. It is good to have that figure, encouraging to really talk to that kind of huge unemployment rate. That what role are we playing as a department? But how part? Well, it would be important really for us to have a picture of seeing how we're going to achieve that. Thank you.
Yes, I'm going to speak.
Chair, just a few things related to what my colleagues have first one that maybe needs we need just an emphasis with the DG has responded on this for on numerous occasions, and we feel we need to talk to until maybe we see the progress thereof. I'm just talking about the emerging artists, especially in the music industry. And we much as we understand that the department, you know, more of a support and coordinating, you know, the process through the provinces and down to where those artists are emerging. But what maybe should be done is that the provinces and the districts, maybe down there in the local areas, I think there should be a way of how those people, maybe I personally might not have an answer to say how do they register themselves or being captured so that they be recognized and can be able to get assistance from the department if need be, so that they become, you know, economically kind of the process that would also assist in the job creation. So that is what we are. I think we have been talking to them with the DG. We can also give more flesh on that if time permits. And then you remember the second one is that we all remember during the deliberations and the discussion in relation to that language bill, and then we debated among other things that maybe the department, all the departments, should be in the position to produce some other document forms and so on in those various languages to enable our people, you know, to be catered for in a way that they are satisfied. Because we're using some this English language, sometimes you pay, for instance, one can give an example in the application of ID and so on. If they just give you the form, you find out it will become very difficult. We know one cannot just go to do that being alone, being assisted, of course, with the officials and so on. But how far would that coordination with all these departments to produce such, or to make use of these official languages that we have been debating about? We know it's a process, it can't be in an overnight thing, but only the process that we know of. the other one, it was in the slide that was not in our package, but the DGS was talking about it. And it was also reflecting on. We know of our untold story, as the DG indicated, or our oral history. I think it is good that if you hear all the entities falling within this department, their functions are more or less of the same, you know, the collections and doing all those other things. But now we still have, maybe this one you will also talk about it, much as we remember he has already sometimes talked to us related to this issue. We still have the oral history that is not being captured. And then our people just talk about it, but it is something that we also need it to be preserved and be told, and sometimes being recorded and so on. So the plan thereof, I'm just of the opinion that it might be coming from a policy of some kind being, you know, made up by the department, so that it can go down up to the relevant, you know, institutions and the relevant organs that are doing with all these type of things, collection, so on and so on, so that we preserve our history, because we do still have the history that is not captured. This one I may not talk much about it, because my colleague has talked about it, this kind of reflex. Much as we understand the vast of our country, that the department is having that responsibility throughout the whole country, we are aware of that. And also, one cannot detach that with the budget allocation. The department may have a budget but might not be sufficient to do that in an overnight or in a day or in a, what do we call, financial year at once. We know of that. You know, the explanation given sometimes, the identification of the service providers, because it's also a process we do understand. But those who are directly there where these things happen, you always have being questioned and asked, when will it be? Especially, you remember during the Mandela Day, I'm just giving an example recently of last year. You find out the ministers and were going around doing this process. They eventually have to identify one school and put it the flag there. The surrounding schools are always asking, when will it that come to us, and one cannot find you know, an answer. We know that the national department coordinating and supporting, there should have been a process, you know, to support the provinces, the districts, and the local municipalities, service providers be hired, so that this kind of thing be finalized. And the chair is now looking at the watch. Then let me agree that it will be captured during the process of the department. Thank you.
It's now 20 parts to be offended, and the department tells this one. I don't know, job or did you organize or not? And now I hear it. You know, the same MPs are asking a lot of questions. They were saying, well, it's lunchtime. But I propose, I will give you I'm sorry. I propose the day when the chief of us was asked that we must have the 2 days strategy session or workshop. What is the pattern on this? Because of, I know this exercise is a very important exercise. Every year is a very important exercise. And I know as well that you will not do justice to this exercise, because of if a meeting starts in the morning 9:30 and in around about 2 o'clock you must be finished at 1 o'clock. Because it's where we will check where the programs are of this country, of this department, and where the budget will be spent, as people like to say in the house, taxpayers' money. So that's why I was proposing that 2 days also. I know my chairperson don't like that. I'm saying when I was in energy, we have the 2 days workshop and setting what the department, what our minister, was even part, but the DG, what this department, every entities, chairpersons of the board, and the CEOs, they was part of this exercise. Because then you will say in that particular workshop or meeting, no, this money cannot be spent there, because we see this event here and we motivate why we as MPs saying this. Now this time is very short here.
Chairperson, I didn't realize that you are chairing me. No one seems to be disempowered to chair, because I came, that's the disadvantage of being giving a a position that doesn't belong to you. Now you are not chairing, you are gossiping. You two. That's a joke. I say I'm disadvantaged the chairperson because I wasn't here maybe at first when you began. The Auditor General gave you a briefing or what, I don't know. Or maybe I'm going to be asking things that they highlighted and they were responded to. But I just want to know from the DG whether this annual performing plan is complying with the National Treasury guidelines. I'll tell you why, because I was asking my colleague here, that the targets that are here. I think some of the columns are not here to inform us whether they have been achieved or what. So to me, it is not quite compliant with the SMART. And I'm also questioning this because the way I read the programs, I'm just wondering how did they come to the numbers. Especially with the programs 2, 3, 5, and 6. Maybe the DG can elaborate on what I'm asking so that I totally understand. Also, the issue of the bursary scheme for the non-employees. I wanted to know from the DG, is this within the mandate of the department? Or do you have a policy then if it's within the mandate? It was in your previous financial year, annual performing plan, that you are having a policy on human remains. Has this been finalized? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Story. The chairperson has called to other meeting as he must have attended this first joint the chairperson's meeting of next week's program. That's why it's this activity. Honourable Story.
Thank you, Chair.
May I know why have Panther received a big amount budget than all others? Can we know why for only Panther? And also, why is the South African Library for the Blind getting very little budget? This is a comment. I asked the department to revisit the budget for bursaries for heritage professionals, as this is not good enough for them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mansfield. Mine will be quickly. It's on the issue of skills. I don't want to say skills. It's for many, many years now in this parliament we talk about skills. So I just want to ask maybe the department strictly on the issue of skills. What did they identify? What type of skills that they needed in the department and in the entity? And did they do that audit? And if so, can they provide us with that information so that you know exactly when you work with those institutes, your universities and so forth, then you know exactly that is the type of skills we need. The university has their data, on those who finish their studies where they can be actually taken as internships, so that at the end of the day, you make sure that those young men and women is being employed. If you know exactly what type of skills you need in your department and in your entities who fall under the Department of Arts and Culture. Secondly, I want to raise the issue that Jefferson raised. All of us, we are claiming Mandela, of the previous President Nelson Mandela. But when you look to the issue of Robben Island Museum, who are really international museum, but if you look to the spending on that island, then you say to yourself, why are the infrastructure spend of the infrastructure of the infrastructure not be upgraded on time and really make this place our international museum, as everyone was hoping for Table Mountain. Yes, fine. The department has a, the Robben Island has a program on United States, as the Honorable saying. But it was really, for me, it was a disappointment. A total disappointment. You can't put somebody, a minister on a program, a president on a program, and you invite those people all the way from Eastern Cape coming here and the people are not there. Then you say to yourself, is that the way they're treating the island on the issue of the program? So really, DG, it was a disappointment. I phoned 30 of them that particular day. And you know, the PA, Minister, you must speak to your PA. Your PA was saying that day, no, don't want to. You see, I don't know how to speak to MPs, because I'm not rude to her. The issue of this bill that you're talking about, I think, DG, you said this year, but we want to know what's the time frame towards this year. Because we want to know how far is this bill. Can we get maybe this document so that we can go through it as MPs, because in the end of the day, they must come to us as well. Although the cabinet maybe adores it, or there will be endorsement cabinet. On the issue of social cohesion, I can't see that. Yes, fine. We get some of those symbols of from the department, but what is the blockage of the roll out of the flags in the schools? Is it the service provider, and how did you put a service provider who can deliver? Because that service provider made the department look very bad. So is the service provider, because that was standing in here, and I mean, if a service provider can't deliver, how do you get that service provider, or appointed that service provider, if you're failing? Is spending the department, because Minister as yourself know and DG, we was be attacking last year in the budget vote, don't want to expect more, and we try to defend this thing, but now we see that secretary, we are now in 2013 and still the issues raised about the service provider who didn't do the function what he's supposed to do, because you will pay him over whichever company it is, who are the service provider. On the issue of, the chairperson raised the issue of the consultants, this one, I think Fatima Bunda, you raised it also last year, even in your debate, you raised it. The last one I want to raise is on
on the issue of the money that the grants said that they will keep more money for the grants for the libraries. Yes, it is, I really must think it is very good. But for the last few years, the issue is not the address on the issue of the spending of the grants. And I'm really curious to know which provinces will be getting from this grant, because some of the provinces didn't spend their grant. And if that budget is being increased, how will we address the challenge and the problem who are still standing there of those provinces who didn't spend their grant? I mean, you can, and even like the Treasury can say, well, we cut 1%, 2%, 3%, but they still roll over. How will he or she balance it if there are still rollovers? If they say to the other side, they will cut year by year by year. I know we want to save, but on the other side, there's not, money is not spending. Over to you, DJ.
Thanks, honourable members, for those very questions. I'm not going to respond to all of them. I will respond to a few, and then I've got quite a big team that will help me to respond to the questions. But let me start with the question that was asked about. I think it was. APP does meet those requirements. Part of what we did during the last financial year is when we finalized our APP, we engaged the Auditor General to do a preliminary audit of our APP. And that is because, as you know, that the Auditor General has been raising very serious concerns about the compliance of APPs across government generally. So they did audit and they found it to be compliant. From a compliance point of view, we are very confident that we meet the Treasury regulations, the Treasury guidelines. Maybe part of the problem is that in the presentation we did not include all of the targets. We just picked up some of the key targets just for the purposes of presentation. But the APP in its full form has been circulated, and most of the targets are there, and they are compliant. Then there were a number of questions around budgets, specifically budgets for some of our institutions, and there was an issue about the budget of PANSAN. Members would recall that PANSAN has had some financial difficulties, and the problem with PANSAL has been that a lot of the money that PANSAL receives funds other institutions. They have got the national language unit, they have got the provincial language unit, which they fund which are all funded through the PANSAL budget. Now, I know in particular the NLU, the national language unit, have raised major concerns that their budgets have not changed for, I think they said, the last 8 years. Their budgets have not changed. So, I mean, they are unable to meet their obligations with those budgets. That is one of the reasons why the budget of PANSAP was increased. Could it, in 2011-12, towards the end of the financial year, we had to ask Treasury for a special allocation for PANSAL, because PANSAL's budget was, PANSAL was unable to meet its obligations on its budget. Effectively, PANSAL was bankrupt at one time. So we had to ask for a special allocation. Now, the issue which I hear members raising is how PANSAL uses its money. And that is a matter that we are raising. The chairperson has raised concerns, and I am meeting with the management of PANSAL tomorrow afternoon to address the concerns that have been raised about how they are using the money and the filling of positions and all of that. We want to fund them to channel as much of the PANSAL budget as possible towards programs, which means towards the institutions that actually deliver on programs rather than operations. So we will be addressing that in my meetings in my meeting with them tomorrow. Then there was a number of issues raised around the Robben Island Museum and why we have cut some of their money. The reason why we have cut a bit of the money from Robben Island is because, in fact, Robben Island itself declared savings. There was money that they couldn't spend. And let me put it this way. Robben Island's problem is not money. Robben Island's problem is an implementing agent. That's what the problem has been. A month ago, we met with the management of Robben Island together with the DG of Public Works to work out a plan of how we can address some of the problems at Robben Island. And we have agreed on several things, one of which is that not all of the services at Robben Island are going to be provided by Public Works. The Robben Island Museum itself is going to look for service providers that are going to help them, so that we don't fully rely on Public Works in some of the things that need to be done there. There is a process of developing the user management plans for Robben Island in terms of the government, the movable Assets Management Act, and those kinds of plans. But we have at least an agreement with the Department of Public Works how we address some of the problems at Robben Island. So I believe that there is going to be an improvement in the infrastructure at Robben Island. But also I think, let's remember that Robben Island is a bit of a unique case. In three ways. One is that Robben Island is an island, which means that there are all sorts of difficulties associated with being an island. But Robben Island does not receive services from a municipality. It generates its own services. It generates its own water, hence the desalination plant. It generates its own electricity. It provides its own services. So there's a lot that goes with that. One of the issues which we are addressing with the Department of Public Works is the cost of diesel for running this plant, particularly the generation of electricity. The biggest cost that has risen at Robben Island is the cost of diesel. That cost used to be borne by the Department of Public Works, and they are saying now they are unable to do that. So we are addressing those kinds of problems. Second, nature of the problem at Robben Island is that Robben Island is both a museum, but also it's a World Heritage Site with a very sensitive environment. Trying to manage Robben Island means trying to manage a number of very competitive things. Robben Island has a lot of animals. There are a lot of animals that roam around Robben Island. If the numbers of animals reach a particular quantity, it compromises the vegetation at Robben Island. At the same time, you've got to manage the traffic of humans. Whilst you want people to visit Robben Island, you've got to manage the numbers there, because the environment is very sensitive. So, and if members were to look at the management plans for Robben Island, it time where, in fact, we're going to be cutting on expenditure rather than increasing it. So we just happen to be in that situation right now. Money is going to be more difficult to get hold of here. We're going to continue trying to find the money for our institution, but that is going to be increasingly difficult. One of the problems that our smaller institutions are running into is that the cost of compliance for a small institution like William Humphreys or the Albert Luthuli Museum is the same as a large institution like Robben Island or Isiko or Ditsong. That's the big problem. If you look at what has increased substantially in their cost, it's not operations, it's not programs, it's the cost of compliance. That is why I mentioned earlier on that we are relooking the institutions of our, the architecture of our institutions. It cannot be right that an institution which has a budget of 5 million rand and has a staff complement of 8 people incurs the same cost as an institution that employs 120 people and has a budget of 66 million rand. Because currently, they all have to have a board. They all have to have the committees of the board. They all have to have an audit committee. They all have to have internal audits, and they all have to pay either the auditor general or an external company to do their external. That just cannot be right. So we've got to reorganize our institution so that we share those costs are actually shared. I know the William Humphreys Council in particular have very strong views about that, but that is a process that we are undertaking. Hopefully we will finalize that this year so that we'll make better use of the money, of the little money that we have, towards programs rather than towards administration. And then there were several questions around the issue of questions around our job creation target. The job creation target is 150,000 until March 2016, which is a 5-year target from 2011 when we started the MGE program. Perhaps let me ask some of my colleagues to begin to respond to some of the problems. Maybe let's start with Mr. Ndima. There were a number of questions around heritage institutions and museums, if you can help us with that.
Thank you very much, DG. I think that the DG has really covered the questions on museums, and with the exception of the two museums that were mentioned by Honorable Van den Berg, William Prinsloo, which is under the Ditsong, but I couldn't get the second name, where the Honorable member indicated that there are challenges there. Paul Kruger, I think that they are all Ditsong Museum. And maybe because one is not aware of the challenges that the Honorable is talking about, we have an opportunity on Friday with the DG, because we are meeting with the Ditsong Museum, and I think that is one of the things that we could present to the management and get a better picture so that we can be able to provide a very comprehensive report to the committee. There were other issues that were raised with regards to the national the flag in every school. I know that this has been a very persistent question in the committee. Just to say that we are likely to register a significant improvement, because if the members would recall that we did speak about the challenges that we had in terms of the service providers, but since our meeting with the committee, I can safely say that we've been able to procure services of different service providers, because I think one major shortcoming in our previous approach was to think that one service provider can actually service all the provinces. Our approach has been to try and decentralize it so that there are service providers in different provinces, and we thought that by so doing, it would then fast-track the process of delivering the flags in the schools. So I think that there is some kind of improvement in that. In terms of the national anthem, honorable members, you would recall that Captain Kotla also spoke quite eloquently about the national anthem, the fact that it needs to be promoted at the university. And already as a department, we have drafted a strategy to popularize the national anthem, not only in the universities, but in the FEP colleges, so that we are able to ensure that many people in South Africa are able to use the national anthem. But beyond that, we have also developed a toolkit of national anthem, which clearly outlines what needs to happen whenever the national anthem is being sung. Also, we have done the translation of the national anthem into different languages, so that people can understand at least the meaning, not that it's going to be sung in different languages. It's going to be sung in the same language, but I think it's quite important for different language communities to understand each and every part of the national anthem, because part of the problem is to sing something that you don't understand. So it doesn't evoke the same kind of understanding and the same kind of meaning. But once you understand what you are saying, it becomes easier even to learn and to then see. So I think that is a very comprehensive problem that is actually beginning to address. There was an issue around the South African Library for the Blind. Yes, we do acknowledge the fact that it's a small institution and therefore the budget is small, but as the DG has indicated that we embarked upon the study. We investigated the brain production in South Africa, which is one of the medium of instruction and communication within that, you know, for the blind community. And that particular investigation has got specific recommendations, which we think that by using that particular study, we will be able to leverage some more funding from Treasury, because there is now a scientific study that clearly indicates that Braille production in South Africa needs to be promoted, so that there is some progress that we can actually confidently say it's going to happen. And then there was an issue of skills development. The chairperson was talking about, you know, that we, from different units in the department, we talk skills, and the question was, did we do audit? The question, yes, we did the audit. Whether the document is there, yes. If the document is there, it can be shared with the members of the committee. And I must say that through the library, through the bursary grants that we have been given, we are able to assess now that there's a lot of interest in the area of heritage studies, including heritage management. But also we should be able to highlight some of the shortcomings. One of the major shortcomings is that there is less interest in technical studies within the heritage sector. I'm talking about the restoration and the conservation of material. And I just think that our approach should now be trying to focus and trying to entice people who will be coming to do their technical work within the sector. People who can restore old buildings. People who can restore the heritage objects that are in the museums, you know, that needs to retain their originality and authenticity.
depending on the conditional grant, as the DG has indicated that the further injection of money into the libraries is indicative of some of a high level of confidence from Treasury that at least there's been significant improvements in terms of the spending and of course transforming the library sector. Yes, of course, we still do have challenges with regard to the spending in other provinces like the Northwest, Limpopo province, as well as the Eastern Cape provinces. And the question is, what is being done to deal with those issues? The department does the monitoring. The department also calls upon the Treasury Assistance Unit to help in terms of helping with procurement, because I mean the main issue here, it becomes procurement of services. It takes a long time. Now Treasury Assistance Unit comes in to help the provinces. But also we've had a number of meetings with different heads of departments from different provinces where we say we can no longer use public works as the reason for not delivering. That we need to explore other avenues of delivering services without necessarily infringing upon the existing law. So I think there is a lot of work that's happening there. Even those provinces that did not do well previously in terms of their business plans that they submitted this year, they had to indicate to the department in terms of how are they going to deal with this issue of under expenditure, so that when money is released, there is a level of confidence that that money is not just going to be thrown into the hole. The last input that I would like to put is the one on the national day. I must concede, Honorable Chukwela, that I think we could have communicated better. We could have coordinated Human Rights Day better. But I must say that also that arises from the teething problems, because all along we have not been the lead department of the DTS in terms of organizing Human Rights Day. It was only for the first time that we as a department led that process. And I think that we should have communicated better with our institution and coordinated better with our institution so that we do not find ourselves doing different things. So I just think that that's the problem that we should not expect going forward. Thank you. In terms of the other items like oral history, DG, I would request that maybe if Ms. Gilda can assist.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Ms. Ndima. Thank you, members. I just want to make a comment on, I think there was a question about the use of EPWP. Just to mention a specific project that started in the National Archives from January this year. It's about heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. We managed to get 44 EPWP interns. 35 of those are actually focusing on construction work, and then the 9 are being trained in archival management. So this is one project whereby we're really benefiting from the EPW. This is going to be a 2 to 3 year project, and basically it's just going to improve the way the archives looks, especially the reception area, and also on top of that it's going to increase the amount of space that we have for our archival records, because with the project we are now going to be putting mobile shelving within the National Archives. So that's the comment about EPWP. And then on oral history, just to mention to members that we started a national oral history program in 2000, and then subsequent to that, we established an Oral History Association of South Africa. Now, the first two conferences were organized in Gauteng by the association in consultation with the Department of Arts and Culture, and then since then we've been having annual conferences in all the provinces. I'm happy to inform you that the 10th annual conference is going to be happening in Kimberley in October this year. And then the proceedings of all the past conferences
impacted on the lives of the communities out there. Obviously, you know, the archives and the museums, all there are a lot of untold stories that are still out there. So the strategy here is to actually partner with other relevant institutions, for instance, private archives, universities, and the like, and then all the work to be coordinated from the National Archives. Thank you very much.
The DG has reminded me, Chairperson, about one issue that was raised by the Chairperson, Ms. Sundusa, about this museum. There's no easy response to this one. All that one can say is that in the department we are inundated with a number of proposals for financial assistance from different institutions. As members themselves have indicated that when you look at the national institutions and museums, there are of course some discrepancies in terms of how money is distributed, which I think the DG has attempted to explain why you have those discrepancies. But it doesn't, take away the fact that there's still more money that is required in those institutions. Now, I'm talking about the institutions that are declared in terms of the Cultural Institutions Act, which obligates the department to provide funding. Now, District 6, if I am not mistaken, is one of the provincial museums, or it does get some support from the museum and from the provinces. So all that I can say is that the reason why maybe there is no maybe financial assistance from the department, it's budgetary constraints that we have. We do acknowledge the fact that it's a very good museum. It touches on a very important subject matter. But the constraint remains.
Chairperson, can I just add a few things? First, I wanted to comment on the language act that the act has now been signed by the president into law. So that process was finalized a week ago. We have now published the regulations. So I'm just hoping that that process will be completed soon. We will then focus on implementation. One of the things we discussed with the DG was that we may want to use PENSAB as our implementing agent for this act. But obviously, with respect to departments and government agencies, we'll have to alert them that the act has now been signed into law and they must put their processes in place. Many government departments already have language units, so you will then have to assess how many of them are ready to do the kind of work that Honorable Maruta is talking about. So I'll say to the portfolio committee, maybe let's look. I think in the coming months we'll be able to see how effective we can now implement the act. Of course, we are not sure what will be the reaction with respect to the regulations. There are people who have been very sensitive about this matter. They've been taking us to court all the way. So we would not be surprised that even the regulations might become an issue. But it has been signed by the president. The event on Robben Island was explained by Mr. Dima, but also to say that it was not organized by DAC. We were
we were arranged to meet elsewhere with the president. So, so it was an event coordinated by the Robben Island Museum itself. But they made the attempt, assumed that we may be available on that day, but we were not. So we were not due to be there with the president at all. I know that I was contacted on the day before and people were pleading if I could come, but we were in another event in Palm. So we were not going to be there. But I think that's something that we need to look at, so that especially on National Day, we talk to our institutions not to organize events without coordinating with us. Because the president was not due to be there at all. How his name was put on the program, I don't know. But it's one of those weaknesses, because they may have assumed that because we are in Pal, we finish there and rush there. But that was not in the president's program. So we will talk to our guys to just sort those things first, because there were people who invited us from various places who came there thinking we would be there. We will attend to them. On small museums, I share the concern of the committee that we should find ways to fund them properly. I know DG's that we are in an era where budgets are going to be difficult, but we will continue to plead. You must understand, we come from a paradigm where in the first few years of the democratic government, the priority was not on heritage. It was on the reconstruction and development of new development, informal settlements, upgrading housing. We are now beginning to settle down and make sure that there is a greater understanding that our heritage to be preserved through museums and monuments is critical and therefore should be funded appropriately. And that is the argument we'll continue to make to the Minister's Committee on the budget, so that we are able to cater for the museums. Secondly, my view is that now that we are busy with the white paper review of our new policy, I think the issue of nationalization should be looked into again. So that smaller museums, instead of having a separate board or council, they could be clustered together, so we save on those costs and put more money into their programs. And that can be done, because we have the example of Kitsong and others. We need to look at how effective it is. But it might help a lot where we could cluster certain museums in a particular region under one board and cut on all other expenses to be able to create new ones for these institutions. That white paper is going to come to the portfolio committee for consideration, and maybe that's an opportunity to begin to look at our institutions and how we could realign them in line with the scarce resources we have, particularly because those institutions are increasing. We still have a few that are outside our own considerations at the moment, but that are going to come in. For instance, the Steve Biko Center in the Eastern Cape has already come to see us, to see our campaign to be funded. We've got the Lidi Sleeve in Dubonia, which is still privately funded, that we are in discussion with. Then we've got the Matola Monument and Interpretation Center in Mozambique, and in Buzini in Mpumalanga that are going to be clustered together. Then there will be new ones coming in, John Langalibalele Dube,
museums to come on board, O.R. Tambo in Bizana. So they are not getting fewer. So I think the way we manage them, we need to really be smart. That is the constant, since we don't have a lot of resources. DG, you said something about feeling of course. Just to say to honorable members that we have in the past few months we have filled two posts of DDGs. Two are already in the cabinet process. That will help us to move faster with the lower structure because they don't need cabinet approval. It takes a bit of time to fill the upper post because the minister must invite two other ministers and another DG from another department, and sometimes just getting our diaries together becomes so difficult. But once we have done that, then the process must go through the Ministry of Public Administration and then must reach cabinet. So it can take more than 6 months just to fill one senior post. And that's the challenge we have. In fact, with our department now, we've got the one post that has not even reached cabinet because we don't get the response from the South African Qualification Authority since November. And nothing I can do. We've been phoning and phoning just to verify qualification. And once you are delayed with your DDG post, it becomes very difficult to fill the rest. But I'm confident that this year we're going to move fast because we have now done those other structures. Lastly, I think DG can talk a bit again about the filling of posts. We have also noted the concern that we should reduce on consultants. I think once we start filling in a lot of these senior posts, that will help us to reduce on consultants, because if you don't have those posts, then you don't have consultants. And as the DG has said, our work has increased tremendously. We are doing the French system now. We have just signed with the UK. We are now finalizing with China and Russia. So the work has just increased, and we are forced to bring capacity from outside. But as soon as we fill the post, then we will definitely reduce the cost of the fees. I think the chairperson wanted me to say something about the chairs. Let me put it this way. Most of the events that we do, we would like the portfolio of committee to be part of, including the Jazz Festival. And I have said to the chairperson that we will send 20 tickets for the portfolio committee. But unfortunately, there was a bit of a challenge with the organizer, so we got less. We are talking to them, so next day I think we should be fine. And the rest of the other events. Oh, you're not coming back.
Nobody knows you.
Yeah. But, the so our apologies in that regard, that we didn't manage to get if there is there are a lot of other events coming, we'll make sure that we arrange appropriately. There's Joy of Jazz something coming in August. And there are a lot of other events that I don't think you are very much interested in. I think what we'll do that the members of the portfolio committee can indicate to my office which events you are interested in, we will secure tickets for you so that you are able to attend. Even with events outside the country, we should be able to
tolerate. We are waiting for the date from the president. We have concluded the museum last time. I visited the place 2 weeks ago with the minister for something just to check things. So we are ready. The president has given us a date of the 18th of May, but they have changed because the president has to go to Russia. So I'm assuming we might get the date in June. And we will invite the portfolio committee to attend that with us. Yeah, I think that's about all from me for now. We will see if there is a second round those issues again. But did you might want to say something on the post, feeling of post?
Yeah, thanks, Minister. I've been largely covered by the Minister. The problem with post is that just as we think we're getting there, somebody resigns or transfers. You notice that our former CEO, who is no longer with us, she's assumed responsibility of women, children, and people with disability. So that means that we've got to be another DDG post to fill. But I'm quite confident that in a short time, all our DDG posts will be filled. That's the only one that we will still advertise and start that process. The other ones, hopefully, will be going as soon as SACWA has addressed our problems. We will be going to cabinet and getting those approved. Then we move lower down the structure. I don't know, Dr. Jane, you wanted to add a couple of things.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister Teaching. There was a question from Honorable Dapane on the development of specialized terminology and as against the development of Khoi and San languages. All what I just want to say about this is that the mandate to develop specialized technologies is derived from the National Language Policy Framework implementation of 2003. It's different from the other mandate for CANSALP to develop Khoi and San languages as well as sign language, which is required by Section 6.5A of the Constitution. So those can actually go to the CANSALP as our institution is mandated to do that, and we are also mandated by that policy document of 2003 to develop specialized technologies. Then the second question from Honorable Van der Berg about the Memorandum of Understanding with the DAL Uni, which is the Dutch Language Union. What I think I should just highlight is that among the areas of cooperation between the Department and the Dutch Language Union was the development of literature. And since the signing of that Memorandum of Understanding, a specific project has been identified, and that is the translation of the children's book into all official languages. That process is underway, and that project is in our APP. So when we report about our project, we'll always also be reporting about that particular project which emanated from the signing of that Memorandum of Understanding with the Dutch Language Union. The third question, which was from Honorable Van der Berg, well, Honorable Minister covered that one, which was about the health. I won't get into that. And the fourth question was from Honorable Jukan, which was about the capacity, whether the building of capacity that we're talking about here has anything to do with the Use of Official Languages Act. And the response to that is that yes, it has very much to do with that, because we are actually building capacity in the area of language, and the Act requires that
all government departments, public entities and public enterprises must establish language units. And once those language units are established, and then this capacity will be needed in order for those units to function. And the last one was from Honorable Mabunda, was a comment actually and a suggestion at the same time, which was about the application forms that need to be translated into all official languages. I think the point is well taken. Application forms, all government departments, just like all official documents, those application forms can be translated. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. The language, sorry, Minister, the language here, I want to give members a 10 minutes to just grab something and come in so that we can wrap up, because we must be out here at least close to 2 or 2 o'clock. The house sitting at 3 is fine, but I think members want to refresh themselves before the house is sitting. Minister?
Yeah, there was a comment and question by Honorable Van der Beek on the library and information bill. It's currently being costed, but it's quite different from the other one. So the other one is protection of state information. This is just information that doesn't need to be protected. It's a library information, so they are quite separate. But it has been costed, and then we'll go through, we'll come to the portfolio committee later on. On the other issue you raised about colleagues sometimes making comments that help people, it's a very difficult one to deal with. What we are doing this year, and we will come back to the portfolio committee, we have developed a framework for the celebration of 20 years of democracy, which will go to cabinet. And this year the theme is mobilizing society toward the consolidation of democracy. And the president will make a call on Saturday for all South Africans to commit ourselves to nation building, social cohesion. In the next few weeks, we will get all the social cohesion advocates to file a declaration committing to these values of unity and so on. It might help in that sense when President makes a call. And then, because most of our social cohesion advocates are people who are key in all aspects of society. It's priests, it's former judges, those kind of people. So we're hoping that it will, in a sense, help our agenda of social cohesion, nation building. And we're actually calling South Africans to celebrate our achievements together for the 20 years of freedom and democracy. It will be something that we'll continue to address, but it's very difficult. And I can't say to my colleague, let me know what you want to say before you say it. So often people speak, but I think leaders know what not to say so that we avoid polarization. But we are going towards an election campaign, and things might get a bit difficult as people compete for that space. We can only appeal. Beyond that, we leave it to the leaders to know what to say to build the nation and not what to say. Thank you very much.
We will see in the budget vote how the leaders think. Do you understand what I mean? And last year we see how the leaders think. TG?
Thanks, Conrad. I don't know. Oh, yes, the CFO. A couple of budget related questions.
Thanks, Chair, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members. I just want to respond on the budget for maintenance. Honorable Van Beek, I think, yes. Van Kasbeek, yeah. budget. The budget for museum for maintenance is separate from the subsidies. So we get the budget, and then the work, the maintenance is done by the DPW. And then the other question is about the non-profit institutions. In the past, we're classifying those institutions as our departmental agencies and accounts, but Treasury, due to the reporting template, so they've requested the departments to separate between the departmental agencies and the non-profit institutions. Like in the department, we've got only three non-profit institutions, which is Engelenbrecht and Blind SA, and the other one is Business, is BASA. So there are only three in the department. So that was the requirement from Treasury in terms of reporting to classify them as non-profit institutions. Thank you.
Thank you. I think there were, although the Minister and the DG have spoken about the positions, the vacancies, I think there was a particular question around why a 10% vacancy rate and not less. And then there was a question around what skills are, do we know what skills are required, or do we have the skills that are required, and have we conducted an audit? I'll be addressing those two. In terms of natural, what we call natural attrition, which means that people that leave your organization as a result of resignations, promotions to other departments, retirement death, a generally accepted percentage of vacancies is 10%. We should obviously strive towards having 100% staff complement or a 0% vacancy. But there are always those people that come and go in the organization for that reason. We will be reporting in our fourth quarter as well as our annual report, but as at the end of last year, financial year, we stood at 9.56%, which was below 10%. But we are striving towards having less than 10%. Then with regard to the, then what we've also done is, in addition to what the Minister has spoken about, the executive positions that have been filled, we, in March, on the 10th of March, we advertised a couple of below senior management positions as well. Those are our priority positions. We're currently having the interview shortlisting, and then we'll be having another round of advertisements in May and then in June as well. So we have now started filling up those positions that have been critically required. With regard to the skills that are required, we do on an annual basis what we call a workplace skills plan, where we determine the strategic development areas. As part of our performance management system, every employee is required to indicate what skills would they require for them that would enable them to do their job. We are busy with that audit. We then consolidate the workplace skills plan for the organization, and we roll out the training then according to the to that workplace skills plan. And then we also have, last year we had an internship program. We started discussions again, well, after started discussions with line managers around the roll-up of the internship program. What we want to target this year specifically those students that have graduated through our bursary schemes in mainly National Language Service and Heritage, that instead of just giving the bursaries to them, is also to provide them with that opportunity for experiential training. So that program, the current one comes to an end in June, the new one will start on the 1st of July. So I think that covers the two questions.
You actually answer my question. Not that you didn't answer my question properly. You answer my question really properly.
Thanks, DG. Thank you, Chair.
I got... I don't want total expenditures. There is food be organized by the committee. So soon you finish and we will break food. We just collect the food and we come back and so we can wrap up.
Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Tafani had asked a question about artists' place in the schools and the criteria that we use. Basically what we've been doing, we work through Department of Basic Education to identify the schools and work with the provinces in identification of the artists. So a particular cluster of schools that you look at will require artists to be placed in schools, and we have made it as such that it's a job creation opportunity for artists, that someone who's a musician who plays in a band in the evening, during the day they can then spend time in a classroom paired with a teacher who's a professional. But their teaching will be then teaching young people, for instance, music, and the young people then look at this particular artist, look upon them as a mentor or a role model, so that eventually there's this thing where they choose arts and culture as a career of choice. At the moment, in February of this year, we did meet all of the provinces. We had a national consultative process in which the provinces then forwarded the artists in schools that programs that they have selected and the schools in which this will be done. So this year, the plan is to roll it out in all of the provinces. Thank you.
I think she was the first one. So members of this, in our invitees, can you get something to eat and then we come back? I don't know if members want the second round when we come back. You want?
Yeah, no. There is one question that has been answered and it's important to me. Of that 150,000 target for 2016, I asked if they cannot register into it, into annual target, so that we can collect our oversight.
Thanks, Chair. In fact, it has been reduced in 3 years. If you look at what we have done on our objective, on our indicators, you'll see that we've got different job creation targets for different programs. For instance, Heritage is 7,500 program 1 is 1,150, so we've got them for all of the different programs. What perhaps we should provide the committee with is just a consolidated number for this financial year and for each of the outer years, which add up to the 150,000.
Five minutes is enough to come back and just ask the second round and then the department responds and we wrap up so that we can leave this venue in two.